Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, the show is supposed to be a split program about Time as Money, the documentary, the movie, which is going to be screened at Clatsop Community College on June 18th, Thursday, 2:30 at the Seaside Campus, 6:30 in Astoria. Really exciting documentary film. Made by Lenore Eklund, who is a Portland filmmaker, and she is the coordinator for the PDX Time Bank in Portland. And of course, we have our own Lower Columbia Time Bank here in Astoria, and we can talk a little bit more about what time banks are. In the second half of the program, we're going to be talking with Lexi Hallahan, who is just a bright ray of sunshine in the studio. She is the director of Northwest Women's Surf Camps. However, they're not just for women, and this is their 10th anniversary this year. There are all kinds of new exciting lessons, retreats, and camps happening, and so we'll be visiting with her in the second half of the program, or however long it takes, because we're going to try to talk to Lenore now and see how that works. So, Lenore, for the listening audience, please tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how this movie came to be.
Yeah, so I am originally from Cleveland, Ohio, and I moved to Los Angeles in 2009. And I was at a birthday party for a friend's 2-year-old son. There was a woman doing this beautiful sidewalk chalk art around the house. And we asked her what she was doing, and she said she was doing this art for time dollars. So we got really interested in, you know, what is time dollars? And she told us how she earns time dollars through this network of people. And then gets to kind of meet people. So we were really fascinated right off the bat because it was economical, it was a great way to get involved in the community, and there was a social advocacy part where everyone is considered an asset. And most off, it was fun. So we started making this documentary about time making, and it turned into something so much more than just a documentary. It turned into us meeting a lot of our friends. So most of the people in the documentary turned out to be really good friends by the time we finished the film and by the time we left Los Angeles.
So you discovered the concept of time dollars in Los Angeles. I know you moved to Portland recently. Did you made the film, though, Time as Money? You made that film in Los Angeles?
That's correct. And we made it for no federal dollars. We used only time dollars, the currency of time banking. So we actually had no money for the budget, but we had our time. So my husband does audio, and I do the video. So we paid time dollars for production assistants, for the people doing the interviews. We had somebody do graphic animations for time dollars. The music, the movie poster were all contributions of time, and our film distribution was actually a connection through a time maker as well.
All right. For those people listening, and I'm hoping that you all can hear, and if a listener wants to call and tell us that the sound is working, that would be great. But so, Lenore, maybe some folks don't know what time banking is and what time dollars are. So why don't we talk about the concept of time banks?
Right. So time banking is a community of people who are exchanging services and using time instead as the unit of currency. So if I walk my friend Sally's dog, she can give me a time dollar, and I can take that to Jimmy for a haircut. So it's a little different than barter because you can give to one person and receive to another, all within the time banking network. And we use a software to kind of log all of our hours and post our offers and requests. So it's a little bit like Craigslist meets your bank account. So it's a little bit technical. But then we also have a lot of face-to-face activities. So we do a monthly potluck where members can come and socialize and connect that way too. So it's part online and part social as well.
Okay, so then let's say that we have, of course, a time bank here, the Lower Columbia Time Bank, and if people want to go to that website, it's LOCO, L-O-C-O, timebank.org. And if people want to know more about the film, they can go to your website, which is timeasmoneythemovie.com. And obviously, we have the two screenings, which are coming up on June 18th, Thursday at 2:30 in Seaside at Clatsop Community College, and you're going to be there to do question and answer, and also in Astoria at 6:30 on June 18th on Thursday. So you have to have an organization with a time bank because someone has to keep track of the time dollars. Like let's say you gave the example of you walk someone's dog, and then but then you so you get 2 hours of you get 2 hours of time dollars or whatever that would be. I don't know how you figure that currency, and then you can use that currency, as you said, for a haircut or for something else. So someone has to keep track of all that, correct?
Right, and that's when we use our software to keep track of all that. So it kind of does all of our accounting and keeps track of it so that we can spend our time face-to-face more and less on the computer.
It's pretty amazing that you were actually able to make this documentary film without using any federal dollars. You did it only through time dollars. What was the most challenging thing? What did you learn while making this film, and what do you think are the really important reasons why people need to see this movie?
Right. I think, the most challenging part was to use your creativity. If there wasn't something that we wanted immediately, we had to get creative with the abundance that was in our community. So I really want people to take away that the power of community and the abundance that's in your community gives you the possibility to achieve something that maybe you didn't think was within your reach. So whether it's, to pull your community together to do a garden or to do a community service project, it's all possible. And, as far as your creativity goes, that you can use this economy and, even to achieve an entire documentary feature film, it's kind of, something that I hope can inspire the audience with.
And people still, even though we hear, of course, mixed reports, the economy is recovering. And however, we know that there is a huge segment of the population which is still struggling. And even folks who maybe have enough, and of course, that's a whole different concept. What the heck is enough in the world today? The idea of time banking is just makes sense. It is a great way, as you said, to create community, but also to live a rich, full life and have resources available to you that you may not have.
Right. And I think, getting something done in that community sense, I mean, people really want to help. I think, if there's a lot of people that have their skills that they might not be able to offer in the economy, but they still have those skills to offer within the community. And people are so willing to give and to help out. And I think using, time dollars as the currency, kind of, you can, as an expression of gratitude to be able to pay someone for that. And then it's great because then they can use that currency to, do something else in their life, whether it's to get something that they need that maybe it's not economical to them. Or what we find most people, they find services that maybe they hadn't thought about in the, paying for in the cash economy, like drum lessons or flamenco lessons, but they find using the time bank to be something more enriching.
Exactly. And like Lexi could time bank a surf lesson. And then use those time dollars to have someone do landscaping at her house, or so that's exactly right. And you talked when we talked on the phone earlier, you mentioned the idea that there are people who perhaps cannot find work, but who still have the skills. The skills have not gone away, and using time dollars and being part of a time bank is a way for them to continue to work and then to be able to have this exchange of, of time currency.
Right, and I think, a lot of people who have these skills can bring them to the time bank, and perhaps it's something that they'd like to learn about are practiced within the time bank before taking it to the economy, the cash economy. So, for example, my husband was really passionate about bread baking. So in Los Angeles, he got to try out baking bread for events and fundraisers within the time bank in a farmer's market. And then he built up the confidence. And then when we moved to Portland, he's opening up a sandwich bakery here now.
That's right. You told me that. Because of his experience with the time bank, he is now, you are living in Portland because he's from there, and he is now going, you're going to be opening up a sandwich shop with his homemade bread.
That's correct, yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's a great story. Lenore, we only have another minute or so left, so I want you to just say any last thing you think the listening audience needs to know, and I do want to mention that if you can make the screening of the film, it is, again, June 18th, Thursday at Clatsop Community College, 2:30 at the Seaside Campus, 6:30 in Astoria. However, if you cannot, if you're out of town on the 18th and you cannot make this, you can also get the film on, is it Amazon? How do people find the film?
Right, it's on Amazon and also iTunes.
Okay, iTunes and Amazon. Perfect. And any last thing you'd like the listening audience to know about Time as Money, the movie, or Time Banks?
Yeah, I hope that people are inspired by the film. And also, Time Banks is just a great way to meet your community. And also, you learn so much about yourself by getting involved. So I really encourage people to get involved in their local time bank. Or if you don't have a local time bank by you, just get out and meet your neighbors.
Right. Make your own. Lenore, thanks so much. You will be here in town for the screenings. You will be doing Q&A. So that's great. Congratulations on doing this. I'm really excited about seeing the film. And people can visit, again, the website, timeismoneythemovie.com. Thank you a million for doing this morning, Lenore. All right. Take care. You have a good rest of the day. Talk to you later. Bye-bye now. Hey, we're back. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And we just had an interview with Lenore Eklund in Portland. She is the director of Time is Money, themovie.com, which will be showing in Astoria and in Seaside on June 18th. Now, we are going to put on our surfing gear here in the studio. I have Lexi Hallahan. Lexi is the director of Northwest Women's Surf Camps, although it's not just for women. And I have had the pleasure of actually doing one of her surf camps, and it was fabulous. So, welcome, Lexi.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Really glad to have you in the studio. Mm-hmm. All right. Lexi, tell us about Women's Northwest Surf Camps and how this, it's Northwest Women's Surf Camps. That's the official name.
That's the official name, yep. I'm happy to say that we're actually celebrating our 10th anniversary. June 11th next week was the first time that we had a surf camp in 2005. And we've come so far, so I wanted to kind of share with everybody some of the fun stuff that we've been doing since. But it started with kind of an epiphany. I had been working with Josh Gustavich at Clean Line Surf Company for many years as his general manager. I felt like we were missing the niche. I was a surfer girl at the time. There was about five of us back then. This would have been in like the early 90s, mid-90s.
Living in Seaside, Oregon.
Mm-hmm, living in Seaside. And I felt like, wow, it's really funny why more women don't surf here, because I had been living in Hawaii for years and had been exposed to kind of the opposite community there, where many women bodyboarded and surfed. And so after many years surfing here, I kind of noticed that. I told Josh one day, I said, let's do a two-day event, and I'm going to offer lessons just to teenage girls and women and see if we can tap into some interests that might be there that we're not aware of. And in fact, the second day of that event, I had a life-changing epiphany. I found my dharma, as they say in yoga, and my path changed from one of a general manager to becoming a coach and a teacher for women, but now men, couples, families, and kids, everybody learns with us now.
And you're surfing. Well, a lot of people, though, Lexi, may not think of the north coast of Oregon as the surfing place. They think mm-hmm. of Hawaii, of course. Mm-hmm. So what is it like to surf here on the north coast, mm-hmm. and what is it that you love about it?
I've traveled a lot of places and surfed a lot of places, and it's a strong surfing community almost everywhere that you go, and there always has been really here too. In fact, they just published a book, The Blackmans, called Oregon Surfing Past and Present, and it goes back to the 50s that surfing was being done here, but it was being done by men. And pretty much that way until the 90s, when you started seeing just a sprinkling of women kind of starting it up. So the reason I think people love to surf here is that there's a beautiful nature that's all around you. You have phenomenal wildlife and connection with nature when you're in the water. When we paddle out at most of the places that we surf at, it's not like you're looking at a bunch of traffic on the beach or noise, pollution, those kind of things. We've got very pristine beaches. It's a seasonal activity for a lot of people, although there's a lot of people now that do year-round surfing, so it's something that's accessible. And then now with wetsuit technology, you can be warm, flexible, the surfboards are great, so there's no reason that you can't surf here and totally enjoy it as much as you would in Waikiki or in Southern California.
And are most of your surf camps in the summer months then? I mean, tell us about your season. I'm assuming that you probably surf year-round.
Yeah. So our swell season here, we have year-round swell here, which is what's amazing about the Oregon coast. Unlike some places where it goes completely flat some times of the year, like Southern California can get really flat for months of the year. Here we have constant swell. It has a lot to do with how close we are to the Aleutians. It's always producing wind swell for us. But the ideal month for people to really learn is June through September. And so we pretty much focus our events, all of our group lessons during that time frame. It's small, more gentle, less current, less tidal pull. Many times that time of year. So,
and where do most of your lessons take place?
I would say about 70% of the time we're at a beautiful state park called Oswald West State Park. I think that's where I took you out that time.
Right. That's right.
Beautiful, pristine, one of the top 10 best state parks in Oregon, and you get to surf there. We also teach in the Cove and Seaside, and then there's been other occasions that we've taught on other sandbars when they've set up along the North Coast stretch here, too.
One of the things I loved when I took the camp with you was that you don't just throw people out into the ocean, which is fairly intimidating, on a surfboard. And people of all different levels, I know, can do it. I know that you have people of all ages and all different levels of fitness. So, but before we ever even took the board out into the water, we were doing yoga on the board. We were getting to know how it felt on the sand to be on that board. And we were having a relationship with it, which I think is a really fabulous way of introducing people to it. Because I think it could be intimidating for some people.
Yeah, I think having that really strong beach training that we do on the beach. We spend at least an hour on the beach, sometimes longer. It depends on the group that we're with that day. We just want to make sure they've got those 12 skills down before they even enter the water. And we want to see that they can actually do them and perform on the beach really well. So they've kind of got that inner understanding before they even go in the water. There's a natural rush of adrenaline even after that beach practice when you go into the water. And you want to reduce them having to think so much and allow their body that's already been doing it for the hour or so on the beach to kind of be able to resort back to that and go, oh, yeah, okay, I know. I practiced that on the beach. I got this. I know what she means when she says this or a coach instructs you in some way. So it's really beneficial. It really takes a lot of that fear out, and it increases their chances for their success in catching waves out there.
Yeah, it's really fun. And again, I think it can be for anyone. Let's talk about some of the things that are coming up.
Yeah. I want just to give you guys, a listening audience, a little bit of an idea. In 2005, we had three-day camps 10 years ago to give you an idea of what we're offering this summer. And you can go to our website. I'll tell you later where that's at. But we have two-day surf camps this summer offered for women and teenage girls. We've got four surf weekenders also for teen girls and women. And then we are having our fourth annual couple surf and gourmet weekender. We're partnered up with the Ocean Lodge, which is a premier lodging there, oceanfront in Tolovana, and the EVO Cooking School. And that couple's Surf and Gourmet Weekender is July 31st to August 2nd. And we are offering new things this summer, like our Couples Day Surf Camp, which is just a part of that couple's weekender. And we've been offering stand-up paddle lessons now for 3 years, but we are going to offer some Sunday group lessons. Those are open for both men and women and teens and adults. And, of course, the thing we always fall back on are our Saturday group surf lessons offered from June through September. So there's a lot of different opportunities for people to kind of choose what they want. Maybe they want a 3-hour lesson format. Maybe they really want more of an immersion, like a 2-day experience. So they need to go to the website, kind of check it out. It's explained really well there what they'll learn in those different opportunities.
And so, you also do private lessons, too. So you have private lessons and group surf lessons. I mean, because this is, you really need expertise if you're going to, I mean, I think, especially with the ferocious weather that we can have here, people need to be safe. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing I love about, I mean, you're so well-trained, and you are, and you know, and what people need to do to be safe in the water.
Yeah, we're actually the only ones that have a concussion prevention program in place. And with the concussion awareness that's really happening now in youth athletics, in NFL and all this, from day one, we've been using gas surf helmets and also soft top boards. And that's really an important part of safety when you're teaching people, especially on the Oregon coast.
Yes, that's exactly right. I'm also wondering if you can talk a little bit more about the stand-up paddle group lessons. That doesn't happen in the ocean.
No, actually we do that on Cullaby Lake and also down on the Nakanakem Estuary and Seaside, depending upon the tides those days. If you've never been out on Cullaby Lake, it's a beautiful flat water lake. There's lots of wildlife. It's an excellent place to go and learn to paddle at. And also the Nakanakem Estuary, as long as we're not getting too much northwest winds, it can be really exceptional too on a higher tide.
And mm-hmm. and so that's you just you're standing up and you're paddling, and I haven't done that. It sounds fun.
It sounds
Donna. I would like to know about and, mm-hmm. and do. Mm-hmm. And that seems like maybe is that more accessible? I mean, when you have people coming to you, what are the things that they ask you about? What are the things that you need to address in your business? Because you, obviously you're always keeping an eye on the weather.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's a number one factor. We're looking at that every day. And there's six things that we look at that you really kind of dial in where you're going to teach somebody at. And we always teach around the tides. We pick the right tide. We're not set up like a surf school where you teach every day at 9 o'clock or something like that. We're set up so that we can be flexible and work with nature in that way. So.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. And then when people come to you, do they maybe a family is on vacation mm-hmm. or a local person who says, I live here. I've lived here by this ocean and by Cullaby Lake for so long, and I've never done anything mm-hmm. within the water. Mm-hmm. And so this would be a great gift to give to somebody to say, hey, as a family, we're going to go and do this.
Oh, yeah. And I think we're at that point now in our lives that we like to give experiences anymore, you know, more so than just giving gifts. And this is a great gift. Many times people will sign up their daughters or their wives or an anniversary or something that they're celebrating, and they'll give that as a gift. And I know that that kind of a nature experience when you're connecting with other people is just so much more valuable.
It's I really feel like there's also a lot of confidence building that happens. Mm-hmm. There's something that shifts on the inside when you do this.
Mm-hmm. It's that transformative piece of it, I think, Donna. I think it was for me when I was learning to surf, but it's also when I see that in my students and all of our lessons and when we're coaching them. There's this turning point where all of a sudden there's a comfort level and they get it. And it's just a cool thing, to tell you the truth. Surfing is cool. And to be able to go out and catch waves and connect with nature and that physicalness of it, and it's really a magical kind of an experience. And we have it right here. We've got a beautiful, pristine playground that they can do it in. Those months, June through September, are great. We have exceptional coaching. It's very safe.
Equipment. Let's talk about equipment. Because
yeah.
What if someone's listening to this and they say, well, I'd love to do this. I'd love to go and take a day camp or a 3-hour or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't have any surf equipment. What do they do?
Well, I have a trailer full of equipment that we use in all of our events. It was specifically for beginner, advanced beginner students, soft top, long boards, and all the gear. But Josh at Clean Line Surf Shop, his company has been our partner now for going on 11 years. They have state-of-the-art wetsuits. It's kind of fun. You go in, try on your gear, get everything set up, and then we meet you at the shop and take you down to the day's beach location.
That's what I did. So you don't have to buy anything.
Nope, no buying.
Everything is provided.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of fun. I should say that in all of our events, we include beach yoga. And for most people, they've never done beach yoga. And if you've never done that, at Oswald West State Park, it's amazing. You've got beautiful, pristine forest behind you, the ocean in front of you, eagles flying overhead. And you're doing yoga before you go and learn your surfing. So it's a fun way to connect, too.
We have just a few minutes left, Lexi. What are the other things you would like the listening audience to know about surfing, about Northwest Women's Surf Camps, even though, again, they are for men as well. You've got the couples, you've got families, you work with teenagers, too.
Mm-hmm. Teenagers, mm-hmm. even kids down to age 6. I've got a few little kids that are my little proteges that are now 9 and 10, and they've been taking lessons with me every summer. It's really fun to see them advance. But I think my vision I wanted to mention has always been to create this Northwest Women thriving community of women surfing. Men have always kind of had that here, and I empower them, too, with it. But my hope is in the next 5 years that we'll arrive at a place where we're past the tipping point, leaving a real legacy of Northwest women surfing here as a community. And I want to say that life's short. You should go surfing, you know, with exceptional coaching, state-of-the-art equipment, and the smaller swells that we get in the summer. There's really no reason that you can't check that off your bucket list. And who knows, it might be one of those things that really changes your life. And you're like, wow, I didn't know I could do it, but I'm now going to start surfing. So
I work with someone who surfs in Seaside at the Cove a lot, and mm-hmm. she loves it. And it just went, and every day she's checking the conditions, and she's, mm-hmm. you know, so the women who are surfing, has that, there are a lot more of them now, right?
Oh my gosh. I think in the 10 years we've taught at least 1,000 students in 10 years, and probably 800 of them have been women. And we always make a point of offering 10% of the students. So 100 of those students were ones we gave in donations, auctions, or community members we brought out there. So it's just so, yeah, it's a great thing. And I think, like I said, I think in 5 more years we'll have passed that point, and you're always will see women surfing here in the Northwest from that point on.
So. Lexi, what level of physical fitness do people need to be? I mean, paddleboarding sounds like almost anybody could do that. Mm-hmm. But in surfing, I think sometimes people might think, yeah, you got to be kind of a bodybuilder. You have to be really an athlete. Mm-hmm. Could you address that?
That kind of comes with surfing. I think most people come and you have to be adequately, you know, kind of average athletic wise. You know, if you're out of shape, I've had many students come that have come from injury, or they're a little heavier than they want to be to start it. But here's your starting point, right? So you come to that class or that event that you're in, and you kind of see where you're at. You get those skills down, and then you start practicing. And more than not, what you'll see is once people start introducing themselves to surfing, they become more and more fit. You know, and you can't always say that the more athletic person necessarily is going to pick it up faster than others. It's a strange thing, but I've seen mothers with 3 or 4 kids that come, and they've just got a natural sense of balance when they get up on the board, where I've had athletic men who get up and they almost overpower the board when they go to pop up on the board. So I've gotten past that point of judging people as far as that. I think it's definitely an advantage to have some more fitness than not, but I don't think you have to rule yourself out just if you're feeling like, oh, I got to lose 20 pounds before I start surfing. I don't think it's like that. Or I have a slight injury, it's not completely healed. It's, you know, it's something that you could probably work with it and kind of build upon it.
I think mm-hmm. you've just addressed something that, you know, a lot of times people think, oh, I'm not an artist. There are the artists and then there, you know, the rest of us. And that's mm-hmm. everyone's an artist. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just those are the jocks, the surfers. No, everybody
right.
can try surfing, can be involved with surfing. And I think just the idea of interacting with the water here, whether mm-hmm. it's stand-up paddling at Colaby Lake or whether it's surfing in the ocean with you. So why don't we let people know your website?
Mm-hmm. So they'll want to go to nwwomensurfcamps.com, or they can always give me a call on my cell phone at 503-440-5782. Our email is also on our website. And just so people know, they can sign up there with active.com, with credit or debit card. All of the events are up on our website, and all the registrations are open at this point.
Lexi, congratulations.
Thank you.
I will be back. I want to do stand-up paddleboarding.
Okay, we got to do it.
Yeah, and we're
going to
do
okay.
some other surf stuff this summer.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much for being here, Donna.
Well, Kate Brewster, I really appreciate all your help today, engineering. Thanks a million. It all worked out just fine with the technology. And thanks to all of you for listening. And I want to express my appreciation to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week. Find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. We forget to breathe sometimes. We get too busy. And breath is health and life. And then focus on the good things in your life with gratitude. There will always be things that don't go well. Think of those things which are going well. Expand upon those. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can. That's all any of us can do. We do the best we can. And for being here now in this moment, the only moment which exists on the amazing planet we call Earth.